Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. As we approach this story in Scripture, the story of Solomon, let us do so in a spirit of prayer. Join me in the prayer of illumination as you'll find it in your bulletin.
Come and fill our hearts with your peace. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your peace. Alleluia.
Gracious God, open to us this word from this Hebrew Bible that it might find root in our hearts, that we might not only understand what it says, but somehow by your grace live this word in your world. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our living word, and in the power of your Spirit, who opens the word. Amen. Amen. This morning, a rather lengthy passage, a long story after David dies. We've been spending some time with David, and what a bouncy ride it has been. And now we are in the next chapter in 1 Kings. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and Solomon's kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to Solomon, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches and for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now therefore do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life. Politics as usual. Politics as usual. That usually is a little phrase to describe somebody whose opinion you don't like. Politics, as it's intended in a derogatory way, I think. And people of every political stripe, they often use that phrase about their opponent when they think their opponent maybe is doing a lousy job. It's just politics as usual. But it doesn't apply just to politics, of course. To every area of life, I suppose it relates. Those who want to put down the church. And there are many, they're probably not in this room, but there are many who think the church is tired and worn out and has become irrelevant because it doesn't speak to modern needs anymore. The church doesn't care about justice anymore. The church only cares about raising money. You know, politics as usual. Let's get a little more money so we can pay the preacher a little more. Politics as usual. Or let's build up our choir so we can comfort ourselves with beautiful music. But let's don't do anything in the world. Let's don't actually learn anything. Let's don't open our minds to anything, least of all the Spirit of God. The church is only interested in pushing its ultra-conservative or hyper-liberal point of view, depending on where you sit on that spectrum. It's politics as usual, in other words. It's politics as usual in church, in government, in the PGA, and in college sports, in the world of business, and in public education and public health, the media, the music industry, whatever. It's politics as usual. It usually means we're not satisfied with the way things are. And we're drawing criticism. We're aiming criticism at others. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Lord, Lord, have mercy. King Solomon, David's son, is guilty of politics as usual. In the few chapters before our passage today, Solomon has his brother hunted down and murdered for scheming for the throne. Many of us would have thought about such things about our siblings, but we didn't actually carry it out. Solomon did. One commentator says, the unscrupulous elimination of his adversaries might have been an accepted and even acceptable feature of Near Eastern politics of the day, but it is morally reprehensible and does not fit God's law, which a godly king is expected to follow. Just prior to this passage that we read today, Solomon marries the daughter of an Egyptian king. We think such marriages are fine, and they are, of course. We marry who we love. It makes perfect sense. But in that day, there was strict prohibition against marrying somebody out of the fold. It prohibited marriage outside of the Hebrew fold. But Solomon did this ostensibly to widen the influence and the power of his kingdom, not in an effort to be a holy and just king before the Lord. Solomon is full of human cunning, vindictiveness, pettiness, insecurity, and sheer dishonesty. Politics as usual? For Solomon, yes, very much so, and definitively, yes. But our passage today that we just read in French and English and Mindy just talked about finds Solomon in a moment of clarity and light. God asks Solomon, what do you want from me? What can I do for you? Sounds almost like a blank check to me. Solomon could ask for smooth sailing. What would you ask for? Solomon could ask, let's not have a rocky ride. Let me have a smooth reign, O God. He could have asked the Lord God, the King of the cosmos, help me make my earthly reign successful. Success is something we all want, right? We want our kids to be successful. We want our schools to be successful. We want our churches to be successful. We want everything to be successful. Never mind faithful, but definitely successful. Solomon could have asked for a healthy family. Could we blame him for that? Solomon could have asked for his enemies to surrender, or his enemies to die. Solomon could have asked for a lot of things. But of all the things that Solomon could have asked for, he asked for wisdom. And he asks to be wise so that he can govern the people that have been entrusted to his care. He wants to do the best for them and knows he can't do it without God's wisdom. God is pleased with Solomon's answer. He didn't ask for either a Lamborghini or a swimming pool. And God grants him his wish to be wise and full of discernment. It pleased God to grant Solomon this wish. But not only wisdom, Solomon would also be granted other successes too. Solomon is guilty of shortcomings. He directly disobeys the laws of God that he vows to uphold as king of Israel. And yet, in a moment of clarity, he asks for the right thing. And he thinks beyond himself, beyond his career, beyond his own wealth, beyond his own security, beyond his own ego. He thinks beyond all of these things. He comes down from his high and mighty throne for a moment. And he asks for something for other people. Because if he's wise, it will benefit the world. Solomon, at this moment, not before, but now at this moment, he's focusing well and rightly on the right thing. Gail Sayers memoir is called I Am Third. You've read that or heard about that, and you know what that means, right? God is first, my family is second, and I am third. Maybe at this moment in this narrative we find in 1 Kings, Solomon was thinking like that also. I'm not first, I'm not second. I might not be third or fourth or fifth or sixth either. God is first, and others are before me. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. For once this mighty king, filled with hubris, might have been following what he is credited for writing later. What about you? Is it politics as usual? Do we go about things our own way, in our own manner, according to our own desires, what we want, what we think, what we deserve? Or do we put others first? Do we think about ourselves as being part of a wider community, of being responsible with and in a larger family, so that maybe my needs and my desires and what I think might not ultimately matter? But what do others think? Where are other people at? Where are they hurting? What are they dreaming about? What do they need help with? Am I first? Am I second? Am I third? Is it politics as usual for you, for me? Our mothers and fathers in the faith, they want us to walk in God's love. They want us to seek justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly. That's not politics as usual for most of us, but for the church, it is. Think of how richer our lives would be if we asked for and sought and attempted to live within the realm of God's wisdom, not our own thinking, not our own desire, but within a greater, higher purpose. Think of how our lives might be enriched by that. Think of how your life is enriched by that when you act upon those impulses, when you find yourself in that sweet spot. God's wisdom, if we allow it, I think will seep into our thoughts, our reading, our work, our play, our relationship. Some of us are entering into a period of discernment. We're wondering, what's next? What are we being called by God to do next? It seems we discern best when we sit quietly and when we open ourselves up to a power that transcends us, and that we listen and are patient. And we wait for the Lord. Many of us wait for God, but we don't wait very long because we have things to do. Hey, God, I'm going to wait for you. You've got 3 minutes. Think of how truer our lives are when we think, not my way, but your way. And that's a step backwards, isn't it? When we're ready to step forward, and instead when we say, not my way, but your way, God. Not my will, Jesus said, but your will be done. Not my wisdom, but your wisdom. Not my plan, but your plan. I think we know this, of course, we know this. But when's the last time we paused and slowed down and allowed it really to shape our moment? At the heart of Solomon's exchange with God in this passage, at the heart of it all is, for a moment, a humble soul. What we see described on the pages of Kings is often an arrogant man, and he comes from a long lineage of often arrogant people, cruel people. But what we find here is a moment of humility. Somebody with all the power in the world takes a step back. I can't do it all alone. I don't have to do it all alone. Do I? You, O God, are certainly worthy of praise. Not me, but you. My wisdom is no wisdom at all. Not really. My strength, no strength at all. But you, O God, are perfect and holy and just. And often I'm too busy to listen, too rushed to pay attention. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Even a fool is wise enough to know that God's wisdom surpasses us, ours, and we are called by God's grace to lean into that wisdom. Even a fool knows that. So this week, I pray our prayer will be what Solomon requested of God. Give your servant an understanding mind, able to discern between good and evil. And not only an intellectual knowledge, but the wisdom to be and to do. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.